Hey, Keurig coffee drinkers. Did you know that the bold, smooth taste of Dunkin' cold coffee can be brewed in your Keurig coffee maker and enjoyed at home? Dunkin's cold K-Cup pods were crafted to be brewed hot and enjoyed cold. And of course, they're packed with the Dunkin' flavor you crave. Brew over ice and sip in seconds. Because the home with Dunkin' is where you want to be.
A good Wednesday morning to you. Another day of brutal cold and ice on tap for tens of millions.
And Al says the threat is far from over. It's February 1st. This is today. Paralyzing the South, now firmly in the grips of that dangerous ice storm.
When I say it's solid.
Accidents, power outages, and canceled flights mounting overnight, while those brutally cold temperatures now stretch from the Rockies all the way to New England. We've got your full forecast. Emotional goodbye. Thousands expected to attend Tyree Nichols' funeral today.
Justice for Tyree.
Justice for Tyree.
Justice for Tyree.
Justice for Tyree.
A live report from Memphis just ahead. Breaking overnight, ready to run, former UN Ambassador Nikki Haley moving closer to announcing her White House bid, becoming the first official challenger to Donald Trump in the Republican race for president. We'll have the very latest. Courtroom drama, new revelations at the Alec Murdaugh double murder trial. Did the South Carolina attorney confess on tape?
It is so bad.
The disputed audio now at the center of that closely watched case. All that plus Zoo Done It, those rare monkeys stolen from the Dallas Zoo, found alive.
They're back home, they're safe.
So who took them? This morning, the newest twist in that strange mystery. And family affair inside the Super Bowl's historic clash of the Kelce brothers.
It's definitely gonna be an emotional game, that's for sure.
And the super mom caught in the middle. Will she be Team Chiefs, Team Eagles, or a little bit of both? We'll ask Donna Kelce live today, Wednesday, February 1st, 2023.
From NBC News, this is Today with Savannah Guthrie and Hoda Kotb, live from Studio 1A in Rockefeller Plaza.
Hi, everybody. Good morning. Welcome to Today. It is good to have you with us on a Wednesday morning. Got Craig in early. Hoda's on assignment. Donna Kelce, how do you choose? You don't.
Well, she's going to be the only person that Sunday who wins. it's they're calling it the Kelce Bowl. Is that right?
Yeah. Two sons. This has never happened before. Never. I was wondering Peyton and Eli, but they never met in a Super Bowl.
Never met.
All right. So we'll have an interview and a conversation with her in a bit. But we got to start with this severe weather. It is gripping much of the country.
Right now, 30 million people under winter weather alerts from New Mexico all the way to Virginia, a number that could grow in the coming days.
In the meantime, that deadly ice storm is on the move across the South. It has been blamed for hundreds of crashes on slippery roads, thousands of flight delays or cancellations.
Another major part of the weather story, bitter cold stretching from the Midwest to the Northeast with wind chills that could hit, get this, negative 60 in some places.
All right, we've got Al warm and toasty in the studio, got his eye on everything. Maggie Vespa in Chicago, not warm and toasty. Maggie, good morning.
Hey, Savannah, Craig, good morning. Yeah, as you said, Chicago feeling the brunt of this Arctic blast. Right now, downtown, it is, we can prove it, 9 degrees, feels like -3. This as tens of millions of Americans, as you said, are waking up to winter weather warnings as the severe windy system marches east.
This morning, bone-chilling temperatures driving an extreme winter storm wreaking havoc nationwide. This severe system's icy grip now tightening on much of the south central U.S., with the triple threat of freezing rain, sleet, and snow disrupting travel, canceling schools, downing power lines, and turning roadways into treacherous ice rinks. For this driver, 1, 2, 3 attempts, and he still couldn't get up the hill. In Texas, icy conditions causing hundreds of crashes, killing at least 3 people. One of those deaths from this 10-car pileup in Austin. A sheriff's deputy in the city rushed to the hospital after being hit by this 18-wheeler that slid right off the road.
You have no idea that what you're about to cross is ice. And if you hit your brakes on it, it can cause your car to completely lose control.
The Dallas area slammed with thunder sleet and setting a new snowfall record Tuesday entirely from the icy mix.
When I say it's solid, I mean it's solid.
In Missouri, it was wrecks piling up, with semi-trucks losing control and adding to the chaos. Similar stories of treacherous commutes in Kentucky.
It's just a sheet of ice out here.
And Arkansas, where a big mess on the interstate brought traffic to a standstill for hours as power lines went up in flames.
Don't be like me and don't go out if you don't have to.
Meanwhile, the bitter cold is battering the Midwest. In some places, wind chills dropped to 46 below. In Chicago, where temps Tuesday dipped below zero and steam could be seen rising off of Lake Michigan, some were determined to see the bright side.
I think it's spectacular. It's a gorgeous day.
Can you feel your cheeks?
Barely.
I can barely feel mine either, guys. And by the way, the other ripple effect of this system, sort of the repeat story of the season, is chaos for air travel, particularly for flights going through Dallas. Check out today's numbers. Close to 500 delays, more than 1,400 cancellations already today. That's on top of close to 2,000 cancellations yesterday. So if you are traveling, if you are flying, it's a good time to sign up for those airline alerts and also have a backup plan. Savannah.
Yeah, that's rough. Maggie, thank you.
All right, let's get a little bit more on where all of this is headed. For that, we turn to Miss Rocha. Those ice storms, those look pretty bad.
Yeah, it's still pretty much where we've been saying over the last, 48 hours, 30 million people impacted from the Pacific, I should say from New Mexico, right on through Arkansas and into even parts of the Appalachians. We are looking right now. You can see the temperatures, 36 in Lufkin. It's raining, but 26 in Abilene. You've got an icy mix there, and this is the story for the day. We're going to see this next round of ice impacting from Tennessee down to Texas. Hazardous travel, down trees, power lines, going to be a real mess. Tomorrow, it's more of a warm sector thing, and so we're going to be looking at heavy rain spreading through the southeast, high rainfall rates. There is the risk for some flooding throughout the southeast, and then by Friday, the front moves off the coast, isolated showers and storms over northern Florida, but then it gets out of here. Again, though, the ice crippling potentials from San Angelo, Dallas, Lubbock, Odessa, into Little Rock, and Memphis, and well, Texarkana. Also included in that, heavy rain stretching from parts of eastern Louisiana all the way through the Carolinas. So we're going to watch for potential flooding there. And of course, the cold, the other big story. We have dangerous wind chill factors that right on through the weekend. Some wind chills 30 to 60 degrees below zero. Right now, the wind chill in Chicago, as Maggie said, -7, 16 in Memphis. Dallas, it feels like 20 degrees. New York City feels like 22 with an air temperature 27. By the way, we got our first measurable snowfall in New York City this morning.
How much?
Central Park. 0.4 inches so far.
That's okay, what it looks. But you could measure.
Every little bit counts.
Okay, broke the record. Okay. So Albany, tomorrow morning. Saturday morning, I should say, -29, -4 in Philadelphia, record lows likely, air temperatures, State College, PA, 5. But the good news is that big chill exits by the weekend. Boston, you'll be at 28 on Tuesday, New York City, 33, Williamsport, 31, Pittsburgh, up to 34. So, guys, there is an end in sight. Okay. The ice ends in the next 24 hours down to the south. Our big chill leaves by Monday.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you. Also this morning, family and friends are gathering in Memphis for the funeral of Tyre Nichols, who died after being brutally beaten by police. And on the eve of that service, his family made another public demand for more accountability in this case. NBC's Priscilla Thompson on the story for us once more. Priscilla, good morning.
Savannah, good morning. That funeral service is set to begin here in just a few hours. What is sure to be an incredibly emotional day for the family of Tyre Nichols and also the community after weeks of agony. This morning, the family of Tyre Nichols is preparing for one last goodbye. Speaking in the same place Martin Luther King Jr. delivered his last speech 55 years ago.
He's allowed me to go up to the mountain. And I've looked over. And I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you.
Nichols' family vowing to press on toward Dr. King's mountaintop in Tyree's name.
We got a long fight ahead of us.
That's right.
And we
got
to stay strong for it.
That call for change comes as the investigation into the officers charged with Nichols' murder intensifies. Two Memphis residents telling NBC News exclusively they had a violent encounter more than 2 years ago with one of the former officers now charged in Nichols' death. Glenn Harris and Demarius Hervey admit they fled in a car when surrounded by officers because they had a registered handgun and a small amount of pot. But when police stopped them a short time later, they say now ex-cop Emmett Martin III pulled a gun and threatened to shoot them both in the face. Harris alleging even more disturbing details, adding that Martin III pinned him down, put a knee on his neck, and pointed his gun at his head, saying, "I'll blow your face off." They never filed a complaint. Martin's lawyer and the city's police union did not respond to NBC's request for comment. The allegations, the latest claim being made against the Memphis Police Department in the wake of Nichols's deadly beating. 7 officers are off the job, including 5 terminated and charged with murder. Attorneys for 2 of the men charged say they'll plead not guilty. It comes as the disciplinary records of the other former officers are coming to light, including 2 who were previously disciplined, according to personnel files reviewed by the New York Times. Desmond Mills Jr. and Demetrius Haley were both reprimanded for failing to file mandatory reports about use of force after making arrests that involved physical force. Through it all, Nichols's family calling for calm as they prepare to lay him to rest.
If my brother was here today and he had to say something, he will tell us to do this peacefully.
So Priscilla, Tyree Nichols will be laid to rest today. The family's also getting ready for a call to action. What is that?
That's right, Savannah. They say that they want everyone who was on scene that night to be fired and charged accordingly. Already, 3 EMTs have been fired, and a number of sheriff's deputies and police officers are also still under investigation. And they're also calling for an end to qualified immunity, a defense that often shields officers from being sued. Savannah?
All right, Priscilla, thank you.
We turn now to that high-stakes meeting at the White House today. President Biden sitting down with new House Speaker Kevin McCarthy to talk about a wide range of issues led by the ongoing standoff between Democrats and Republicans over the nation's debt limit. NBC's chief White House correspondent Kristen Welker has the very latest on all of this. So, Kristen, what's the likelihood that they make any real progress?
Craig, the reality check here, good morning to you, is that the expectations could not be lower for this meeting. There's really almost no chance that President Biden and Speaker McCarthy will make progress on reaching a deal to raise the debt limit. Instead, think about this meeting of more of a starting point. Both sides are going to draw lines in the sand. And President Biden has said, look, he's not going to negotiate a deal to raise the debt limit, which, just to remind everyone, is like the balance on a credit card. It's the debt that America has already racked up. Speaker McCarthy, though, has said he's not going to vote to raise the debt limit unless they also find spending cuts. So the White House is accusing Republicans of trying to cut things like Medicare and Social Security. McCarthy's insisting that's not the case, but he also hasn't been specific about what he does want to cut. So realistically, both sides probably won't reach a deal until this summer. That's typically how things go down here in Washington. That's the date when the nation would actually default. And if that happens, experts warn that could lead to economic calamity, which would really impact so many Americans across the country.
And meanwhile, politics, the presidential race starting to kick into high gear. We're learning that Trump may have his first official opponent, Nikki Haley, getting ready to run.
Savannah, this is a major shakeup in the Republican primary. You're absolutely right. It's not altogether unexpected, though. Former South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley, as you say, is signaling she's going to run for president. And 3 sources familiar with the plans are telling NBC News she's previewing a mid-February announcement in Charleston. So why is this significant? Well, look, she would be the first official 2024 challenger to former President Donald Trump. And Haley, of course, served as Mr. Trump's ambassador to the UN. And remember, she initially said she would not challenge her former boss, but clearly that is changing. Now, here's where it gets really interesting, Savannah. Over the weekend, Mr. Trump said Haley had actually called him to say she was considering running, and he told reporters he advised her to do it. He also took the chance to take a not so subtle swipe at her, though, noting that Haley had publicly said she wouldn't run against him. Big picture, though, remember how Mr. Trump got the nomination back in 2016. The GOP field was just so splintered that it really helped pave his path. So the question now is, will we see a similarly crowded field in 2024? We know that one additional person will be in the mix, Savannah.
Yeah, a lot of people dropping not so subtle hints, too. Kristen, thank you. Got a follow up now to a story we told you about on Monday. The suspect at the center of a manhunt in Oregon is dead this morning after an hours long standoff with police. Police are telling local media there that 36-year-old Benjamin Foster died of a self-inflicted gunshot wound. Foster was on the run for several days, accused of torturing a woman he held captive in Grants Pass, Oregon. That victim is still in critical condition.
Also this morning, we're learning more about the evidence against Alec Baldwin and a weapons specialist after they were officially charged with involuntary manslaughter in that fatal shooting on the set of their movie Rust. NBC national correspondent Miguel Almaguer has been following this one from the very beginning. He joins us with those new details. Miguel, good morning.
Craig, good morning. With Alec Baldwin and Hannah Gutierrez-Reed now formally charged, new court documents allege a laundry list of critical missteps that led up to the fatal shooting. In those documents, Baldwin is accused of willful disregard and negligence, the DA laying out a case that could carry, if convicted, up to 6.5 years in prison.
Calling his behavior reckless on the set of Rust, the district attorney says Alec Baldwin directly caused the death of cinematographer Halyna Hutchins. But Baldwin told investigators he was thoroughly trained. In a new statement of probable cause, the DA says Baldwin was not present for required firearms training prior to the commencement of filming, then was later distracted and talking on his cell phone to his family during the training, cutting the hour-long session in half. The DA saying they have photos and video that clearly show the actor's finger on the trigger multiple times.
No, I would never point a gun at anyone and pull a trigger at them.
With Baldwin's attorney calling the charges a miscarriage of justice, the DA pointed to the actor's public assertion he is an expert in the realm of firearms and filmmaking. Investigators say Baldwin should have never handled the weapon in a negligent manner.
The gun was in his hand when he pulled the trigger, and that was the main action that killed Halyna Hutchins.
After finding 6 live rounds on the set, including one on Baldwin's holster, the DA believes Hannah Gutierrez-Reed, the armorer, loaded the gun given to Baldwin. With the 25-year-old also charged with involuntary manslaughter, her attorneys say Gutierrez-Reed asked to use a plastic gun for the rehearsal and was told no. Her lawyers adding, "We will fight these charges."
Why was Hannah Gutierrez-Reed charged with involuntary manslaughter?
She was in charge of the actual weapons and making sure they were secure and safe.
This morning, allegations of a fatal chain of critical mistakes as the actor and armorer face the possibility of serious prison time.
Prosecutors also alleging new details related to the original camera crew who quit and were replaced one day before the shooting, partially over safety concerns. They say Halyna Hutchins and the director were supposed to be outside during the fatal scene, but because of the abrupt crew change, they decided to be in the church with Baldwin. The DA added that Baldwin, as a producer, failed to act to address any safety or continuity concerns with that new crew. Craig.
All right. That national correspondent Miguel Almaguer for us. Miguel, thank you.
A lot more to get to this morning. Just a couple weeks after someone hit that massive $1.3 billion Mega Millions prize, another lottery jackpot is growing. This time it's the Powerball. Oh. And the top prize is now up to $653 million. That is the 8th highest Powerball jackpot of all time. No one has won it since November, so the prize money has just been rolling over and growing ever since. The next drawing is tonight, so get your tickets if you are feeling lucky.
Yeah, all right. Mr. Roker's back now with a look at the rest of the national forecast. What are we looking at, Al?
Well, right now we're looking sunny and warm weather for our friends down in Florida, so that's where you're looking to, for a little warmth and sunshine. You might want to head down there. Bitter cold in the plains, that ice storm firing up again, Texas all the way into Tennessee, and beautiful weather out west, a few snow showers as you get into parts of western Montana. And that's your latest weather, guys.
All right, Mr. Roker, thank you. Still ahead here on a Wednesday morning, dramatic new testimony in that double murder trial of prominent South Carolina attorney Alec Murdaugh, what his final text message to his wife is revealing, and the major question raised in court, did Murdaugh actually confess to killing his son? We'll have the latest on that.
All right, and then we'll have some potentially good news if you've been struggling with those sky-high food prices. Inside, the new push by some major stores to lower your next grocery bill. How about that? But first, this is Today on NBC.
We'll take it.
Yeah. How about that?
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
When you're hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging to connect with candidates faster. Plus, 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/today. Just go to Indeed.com/today right now and support this show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/today. Conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Oh. We're back, 7:30. Soak up this shot if you can't soak up the sun. Miami Beach, Florida, one of the very few places in this country not dealing with cold, not dealing with ice. It's sunny, 74. Drink it all in. Good morning, Miami Beach, and good morning to you.
That's why people love Miami right there. Meanwhile, with Hoda on assignment, Chanel joining us for the rest of the morning.
Good morning.
Good to see you. Let's get a check of those 7:30 headlines right now. And we start with some big consumer news. The Biden administration is looking to clamp down on those massive late fees on credit cards. The Consumer Financial Protection Bureau is proposing some new rules that would cap fees at $8 for late or missed payments. The agency says the change could save American families up to $9 billion a year. Today's announcement starts the clock on a formal public comment period.
Bad news this morning for the popular home goods chain Bed Bath & Beyond. The company announcing it's going to close 87 more stores nationwide. That is on top of the 150 stores that were already on the chopping block. The company also said it's going to shutter all of its Harm & Face Values health and beauty stores. According to media reports, Bed Bath & Beyond could be preparing to file for bankruptcy as soon as this week.
Buffalo Bills safety DeMar Hamlin is teaming up with the American Heart Association to encourage people to learn CPR. Hamlin took to Instagram yesterday to announce the DeMar Hamlin 3 for Heart Challenge. It's a three-step process for people to learn how to perform the emergency life-saving procedure. Participants are encouraged to nominate three people to participate. Hamlin Challenge quarterback Tom Brady, former First Lady Michelle Obama, and Lakers star LeBron James.
There he goes. He's already changing the world. He said he would. Meanwhile, down in South Carolina, in Craig's neck of the woods, another day of dramatic testimony expected. This trial of Alec Murdaugh, closely watched, a prominent South Carolina attorney, now accused of killing his wife and son.
In the spotlight, words from Murdaugh himself in both text messages and video recordings in the wake of those murders. NBC's Katie Beck has been following this story for us. Katie, good morning to you.
Well, good morning, guys. A big focus over the past few days, a statement Alec Murdaugh made to investigators just a few days after the murders. Investigators say this statement stood out to them because it sounded incriminating, sort of like a confession. Murdaugh's attorneys pushing back, saying they didn't hear it that way.
With the trial now in its second week, the focus in a South Carolina courtroom is centering around the words of Alec Murdaugh, the former high-profile attorney accused of killing his wife, Maggie, and son, Paul, on the family's sprawling property back in 2021. On Tuesday, the jury shown Alec's final text message to Maggie, "Call me, babe." That message left unread, sent a short time after prosecutors say Maggie and Paul had been gunned down. But it was a five-word statement made by Murdaugh in a lengthy interview with police 3 days after the murders that both sides have scrutinized in court.
I did it so bad.
According to investigators, "I did him so bad," as Murdaugh tearfully discussed his son. But the defense pushing back, arguing Murdaugh said "they" and not "I," even playing a slowed-down version of that audio for the jury.
I did it so bad.
Still, Jeff Croft, a senior special agent with South Carolina's Law Enforcement Division, maintaining he heard "I." In cross-examination, the defense questioning Croft. Why, if he believed Murdoch made a possible confession, Croft only made what he called a mental note.
If the guy in the middle of the circle, the only one in the circle, says, I did him so bad, isn't that a significant statement if he actually said that?
It's definitely something we would follow up with.
A forensic expert later also revealing Maggie's phone had been in airplane mode with the Wi-Fi turned off, though still able to capture device activity.
Within the space of about 2 minutes, you see three separate calls from Alex's phone incoming into Maggie's phone. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Prosecutors seeming to suggest someone picked up Maggie's phone minutes after her murder.
It appears the phone's being moved and the camera's activating in the background to see if it would recognize somebody's face that would unlock it.
All right, Katie, the trial, of course, continuing today. What else could we learn in court from those cell phones?
Well, I think one of the biggest piece of evidence in this case, Craig, at least of what we've heard so far, the one everyone seems to be waiting for, is a cell phone video that was taken from Paul Murdoch's phone inside that kennel about an hour before Alec dialed 911. Paul is actually showing a friend the condition of his dog in that kennel, and prosecutors say you can hear Alec Murdoch's voice in the background. You don't physically see him on camera, but you hear him. That places him at the scene just an hour before that 911 call. Blows a pretty big hole in the alibi if the jury believes it, because Murdoch says he was never inside that kennel that night until he discovered the bodies. Craig?
Yeah, case where the timeline's so important. Katie Beck. Katie, thank you.
All right, still ahead, those missing monkeys at the Dallas Zoo found miles away inside an abandoned home. The question's now, who took them, and is there a connection to other mysterious incidents at that same zoo? We'll have the latest.
But first, the Kelce family's Super Bowl showdown. Travis, star for the Chiefs. Jason, plays for the Eagles. Who will mom root for? Well, let's put the question directly to her. This is Kelce, Donna Kelce, right there waiting for us. We're going to chat with her about her history-making family right after this.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium-iced coffee. With McDonald's Mix and Match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
We are back with a big talker on the road to Super Bowl 57.
Ah, yes. Fans of the Kansas City Chiefs and the Philadelphia Eagles are gearing up for an epic clash. But our next guest is in a very tricky spot. She actually roots for both teams.
She's officially neutral. Her name is Donna Kelce, and now you know why. She's the first mom in history to have two sons, Travis Kelce for the Chiefs, Jason Kelce for the Eagles. They will play on opposing teams during the big game. So we're going to talk to Mrs. Kelce live in just a moment. But first, a look back at the family's journey. For Donna Kelce, Super Bowl 57 is about much more than which team hoists the Lombardi Trophy. She will make history as the first mom to have two sons face off on the NFL's biggest stage.
My mom can't lose. I'll just leave it at that.
Jason Kelce, an all-pro center for the Eagles, and younger brother Travis, the all-pro tight end for the Chiefs, are both stars for their respective teams. Now, the brothers are ready to take that sibling rivalry to the next level. Jason joking with reporters before the Chiefs game Sunday.
Win or lose, I'm done being a Chiefs fan in 3 hours.
But even leading up to one of the biggest games of their careers, both brothers are known for supporting each other.
You won't see me talking too much trash because of how much respect and how much I love my brother. But it's definitely going to be an emotional game. That's for sure.
Donna always trying to be in two places at once, proudly sporting a split Eagles-Chiefs jersey. She was watching Jason's game in person at the Eagles' Lincoln Financial Field before flipping over to Travis's Chiefs game. But she knows exactly where she's headed in just under 2 weeks. The NFL calling the upcoming game the Kelce Bowl, joining millions of football fans wondering, who's she rooting for? The brothers, who both play offense, won't actually take the field at the same time, but the game is sure to be a nail-biter for their parents, Donna and Ed, who will be watching to see which of their sons will claim their second Super Bowl ring. Well, how fun is this? We've got Donna Kelce with us this morning. Let's just get it out of the way. Are you rooting for any particular team in the Super Bowl?
Absolutely, the offense. Every time somebody has the ball.
Yeah, well said, Mom, since both of your boys play offense. Well, how does it feel to be you right now? You're the only mother ever to have two sons in the Super Bowl facing each other.
Well, you knew it was going to happen eventually to somebody because there are so many brothers in the NFL right now that are playing at a very high level. It just, you know, happened to be that we were the lucky ones first. So I think it's probably going to be more and more prominent.
I mean, for you as a mom, you've spent just, I would imagine, countless hours watching your sons play football growing up. And here they are at the apex of it in less than 2 weeks. Is this a dream come true for you, or are you going to be nervous as all get out?
Yeah. No, I'm a true fan of football. This is going to be so awesome. They've already got the first win under their belts, so this is going to be just pure joy. I mean, we're going to really enjoy this, have a great time. Obviously, there's going to be somebody that's going to go home heartbroken, but they won't have the, you know, bragging rights at the Thanksgiving table. But, you know, this is going to be an awesome event, and I'm really looking forward to it.
Well, tell us about these boys of yours. I mean, do they have that sibling rivalry? Are they competitive at all?
Oh, geez. Yeah, there were a lot of fights, a lot of, you know, I mean, it was just, everything was a competition. It was a competition to see who could get to the table first, who could get in the front seat of the car. This is just, it's just typical sibling rivalry. They egged each other on. Travis was always trying to, you know, get at his older brother to pay attention to him. So, you know, there were a lot of fights. So it's just, that's the way boys are.
I mean, how do you think you're going to do on Super Bowl Sunday when you're there in the stands?
I'll just be so elated. Probably some tears.
Yeah.
And just will be a very, very emotional moment.
What do you tell that son who doesn't win on Sunday? What do you say to him? How do you console him?
There isn't anything I could possibly say. Just give them a hug and, you know, tell them that I love them. That's it. That's all you can do.
We hear the emotion in your voice. It's not just a game. I mean, your mom, these are your sons. They are at the top of their game, the top of their profession. Yep. What does that mean to you?
Just such a surreal drive. You know, you see them as kids and you wonder how they're going to relate to other children. And you don't really know. They're the best in their city, the best maybe in their state. And you don't know how that's going to relate to the rest of the country. You just have no idea. So I know they were very talented. They were very athletic. And it was a joy to go to all the games with lacrosse and baseball and hockey. And, you know, they played almost every single sport you can think of, basketball. So it's just been a pure joy to watch them compete and be allowed to do it for this many years. Mm. It's just amazing.
Donna, I want to go back to something we asked you a few moments ago, because you're wearing your split jersey there. Full disclosure, I'm a Chiefs fan. My son's a huge Chiefs fan. He actually interviewed Travis a couple of months ago.
And Patrick Mahomes. I remember that.
So, yeah. I mean, in your heart of hearts, Donna, if you had to pull for one team...
Yeah, I know you're going to ask that. I can tell you this. It's not a team. It's, you know, both fan bases are absolutely amazing. Just give everything that they have, you know, to on game day. Yeah. And I think that Jason would say that I am going to root for the baby of the family, which is Travis. And I keep trying to tell him, no, you've given me grandchildren. So we'll leave it at that. It's always about the grands.
Well, okay, so let me ask you this. I think you can answer it. We're going to roll some video. I don't know if you can see it. Who has the better dance moves, Jason or Travis? Because we're looking at Jason here.
Yeah, I saw that. We were shocked because he doesn't do that often.
Okay, well, game on. Donna, enjoy the game. You're a winner.
Thank you.
You know, raising two successful kids.
Regardless, this is going to be just so much fun. I mean, somebody's going to win. So, I mean, how much better
you
can
are.
That be?
Yeah,
you're going to win.
Go offense. Yeah.
Thank you, Donna.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Oh, what a treat.
What a love.
You imagine.
She says she's also rooting for a high-scoring game.
Oh, yeah.
They're
there
both on the offense.
There you go.
Like that.
That's special.
Yeah.
Oh, Mr. Roker.
That was great.
Yeah.
Mom's love. You can't beat it. We are looking at sunny, warm conditions down through Florida. We've got chilly conditions here in the Northeast. New York City, as we mentioned, getting its first measurable snow. Ice storm going to be brewing from Texas, heading on up into Tennessee. Bitter cold in the plains, making its way south. Gorgeous weather out west. And that is your latest weather.
Did you notice how Melvin tried to get her to say chief?
I know, we're shameless.
Truly. We're Eagles fans. You didn't see us trying to do it.
Sorry.
And you almost got it.
I did.
Yeah. Good work, friend.
Coming up inside that new push to actually drive down those soaring grocery prices, why some major stores actually want you to pay less. But first, these messages.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.